And may I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please do be seated. So, we're in Lent, and we're thinking about repentance and all those kinds of associated subjects. And we have a very good passage this morning from the New Testament where Jesus is talking about people and whether they've sinned or not when terrible things happen to them. A king visited a prison in his kingdom. It's an old Jewish story, a Hasidic story. And he talked with all the prisoners in the prison and asked them what crimes they'd committed. And they all protested their innocence, except for one man who confessed to having been a thief. "Throw this rascal out of prison," the king said. "He will corrupt the innocents." It's actually very interesting. I've done a little bit of chaplaincy work in prisons, and it's very interesting when you talk to people about what they did wrong and they didn't do anything. It has a ring of authenticity about it, that story. Sometimes we're very, very good at seeing the wrong that other people do, but not recognising the wrong in ourselves. There's a wonderful prayer: "Give me grace, dear Lord, to see myself as others see me." And it's true, isn't it, that we can see the corruption and the vice and the scandal all around us, but we're not so good at looking at ourselves. And in the Old Testament, it was quite common to think that if you were doing all right, that God was blessing you. And you must be living a pretty good life. Whereas if things went wrong, well, that indicated that you'd gone wrong somewhere down the line. And God was punishing you. And you were getting your comeuppance. And there's a phrase that I'm sure we all remember. It's quite understandable that when Jesus was going out and about on his travels, they would bring to him a man who was born blind and say to him, "Did this man's parents sin?" Because obviously the man couldn't have sinned when he was in the womb to be born blind. So if some dreadful thing had befallen him, it must have been someone's fault. It must have been his parents' fault. Because that was how they understood it. This grew in the Old Testament. There were moments when it all fell apart, things like Job. But it's quite common. And so it's understandable that people would have said to Jesus, "Look, there was this terrible incident which happened, and it's talked about in our passage. Galileans whose blood Pilate mixed with their sacrifices." That's talking about a massacre when people were offering their sacrifices. They were also killed. The blood mingled. So it's like you might read in churches, or, you know, when we read in Africa about terrible atrocities that happen in churches. And the people say, "Well, did they do some terrible crime? What terrible thing did they do?" I mean, this was common at the time. Pilate ran into these rages and killed people and what have you. So it's understandable in its historical context. We don't know this incident. It's not reported anywhere else. But it's typical of what Pilate would have done. And Jesus will have none of it. When the man is brought to Jesus who's been born blind, Jesus says, "No, this man did not sin. No, this man's parents did not sin." He will have none of this. And in this little episode here, Jesus says, "Look, do you honestly think that? Do you honestly think that's the way that God behaves? Do you remember the story Jesus says about the tower that fell in Siloam and the people got crushed? Do you think that they were doing something wrong when they got crushed by the tower?" Absolutely not. So Jesus has none of this idea that somehow we are punished in this life when things go wrong, that somehow we're doing something bad and God is getting at us. He had none of it. I mean, you can think of these instances. They happen all the time around the world. Buildings are built with faulty concrete and people get killed. Discos take place and someone puts chains around the fire doors and they can't get out. We hear about these atrocities all the time. And the idea that somehow God is using them to punish people is abhorrent. And it does happen still today that people think that somehow when dreadful things happen, that God is somehow visiting his wrath and judgment. We heard about it in the tsunami. God was somehow, you know, inflicting this kind of suffering on people. Lots of atrocities. People will jump to try and say that God's hand is in it. And Jesus is saying in this passage today, absolutely not. And it's really important to hear that. It's really so that if ever you hear people saying that kind of judgmental thing, that you will be able to answer it and say, absolutely, God is not punishing people because they're guilty of some dreadful crime. So what Jesus does do then, he goes on, having established that fact, he says, but look, life hangs on a thread for all of us. Each one of us, any day you go out, you could be hit by a tower, or something could happen and you would be killed. So look at yourselves, Jesus said, look at yourselves. And this word repentance is used. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. This word repentance is used. We all have time, like an egg timer, running out. It doesn't stand still for any of us. So you're saying, just don't point the finger at somebody else. Think about yourself and ask yourself, is your life okay? Don't judge other people's. Look inside. And that's what Lent is all about. And Jesus tells this parable about a fig tree that's been planted in the vineyard. And it's unfruitful. Trees should bear fruit. If you have a fig tree in a vineyard, the only reason why it's there is to produce figs. And if it's not producing figs, then it's pointless. So Jesus is saying, look at your own lives and say, are you bearing fruit? And not just in the sense that we think of in terms of Lent, that we have to start giving things up. But think of the wider parts of our lives. You know, how does our behaviour affect others? How do our wants cause misery for others? And, you know, in the Western world, we have to think about this really, really carefully, don't we? Because the things that we buy often have a really bad impact upon people living in other countries. So we have to look at it on a big scale as well as just a little scale for ourselves. We have to look at how our behaviour affects others, how the way in which whether we smile or not affects others, or do we make everyone feel miserable because we're always going and moaning about things, or we're always self-interested or self-absorbed. These are the kinds of things which we have to ask ourselves about at Lent. Lent isn't about being filled with remorse and guilt. It means being ready to accept responsibly our own lives and the way in which we live them, and try and learn to be better people so that our lives bear fruit, so that no one wants to chop us down because we're unfruitful. Now, this is all, you know, it might seem a theological lesson, but this is all the kind of stuff which is important in our lives. Lots of people are worried and troubled by guilt and fear, and Jesus is speaking to all that. He's saying, look, we've all got chance. He says, leave it here, give it a chance to change. We've all got a moment, an opportunity to change. We can be better people. These themes are really important. I went to see a film recently called The Miserables. Has anyone seen it? Have you seen it? Can you put your hand up if you've seen this dreadful film? Have you seen it? Well, you ought to go and see it. You ought to go and see it. It starts, because this stuff that Jesus talked about 2,000 years ago, it's still very relevant today. And you see it in our literature, in our films and all the rest of it. It starts with men pulling a ship, literally with their hands, out of the sea into a dry dock. It was filmed, I think, somewhere in the UK. And the men are pulling and they're singing, because they sing internally in the film. And they're pulling the ship, and eventually the ship comes up. And you realise that they're in France, and they're convicts, and they're being punished for their crimes. And the crime that the guy who's the lead sort of character, this bloke called Valjean, the crime that he committed was that he stole bread because he was hungry. He stole bread. And so immediately you're introduced to the theme that people can be punished out of all proportion, and can do nothing wrong in a sense, and lead lives. I mean, he spends years serving out a sentence for a crime which was, you know, wasn't a crime. I think actually he stole the bread to feed someone else, didn't he? I think that was, yeah. So actually, he wasn't a crime at all. He was actually doing good, and he got punished. So that is introduced, and out of hunger and starvation for someone else, he tries to do something good and he's punished and he suffers. And the film looks at the whole theme of suffering. There's a young girl, a young pretty girl who has all her hair cut off and becomes a young ugly girl and all her teeth get pulled out. She suffers dreadfully. And she doesn't really do anything wrong. And she ends up as a prostitute. through no fault of our own. And it introduces this idea that somehow you can be subject to all kinds of horrendous things, end up at the bottom of the pile, and you've done nothing wrong. And you could say, who did this girl sin? Well, no, she didn't. She was a victim of some terrible circumstances. And suffering is a big theme of the film. In fact, the whole thing is about suffering. And I suffered, and all I did was bought a ticket. People leave the cinema in floods of tears. I kid you not. But introduced into this whole film is this concept of hope and change. And it's quite interesting, really, because the guy, this Bol Jon character, he leaves the convict's prison where he's pulling ships up and things. He's released. He served his sentence. And he goes out and he can't get a job because, he's a criminal and so no one will employ him. So he steals again. But he's given a second chance by a bishop. And there's this wonderful scene on a hill where he's standing next to a cross. And the bishop gives him the silver which he's stolen and gives him a second chance. This is all very gospel-y, this, isn't it? He's given a second chance. And he takes the silver which he's stolen, which the bishop has given him, and he goes out and he uses this silver to build a business which gives work to people, and he treats them nicely and he does wonderful things. And it's like the parable of the talents, is it not? It's a second chance. It's an opportunity to redeem himself. It's like the miracle of the loaves and fishes. He's given some silver and he turns it into a huge kind of... And he becomes the mayor. And so the whole film is about the opportunity for hope and redemption and change. The opportunity to change. And in the film there's a very strange kind of character who's like an army officer and who can't sing. And I'm trying to think who the actor's name is. You see, you have all seen it. You see. Oh no, I haven't seen it, Mr. Wolves. Oh, Russell Crowe. Russell Crowe. And Russell Crowe is a very interesting character because Russell Crowe, he chases down Bol Jon. He realises he's this criminal from the past. And he constantly pursues him. And he sees things only by the letter of the law. Only by the letter of the law. And he can't bend. He can't. It's almost like a juxtaposition between law and grace. And eventually this guy throws himself off a bridge. I want to know which this bridge is because it's a fabulous bridge. The best part of the film was where he throws himself off the bridge. You never hear him sing again. But this bridge is remarkable because it's got waterfalls and things at the bottom of it. A brilliant bridge. And he throws himself off. And he throws himself off almost because he realises that living by the law just doesn't really work. And he has opportunities where he's shown forgiveness twice in the film, and he can't really understand this whole idea of forgiveness. It's contrary to what he's been brought up with. It was something that's so ingrained in his personality. Anyway, if you haven't seen the film, go and see it and look at it, try and understand it with a theological bent. It was that's probably the best way to see it, because from the point of view of the French Revolution, it doesn't work because they're all cowards. The only one with any courage is a tiny little boy who gets killed. Everyone gets killed. But the themes of repentance and grace and forgiveness and why people are at the bottom of the pile and it's not their fault and all the rest of it is very interesting and resonates very much with our parable and the story that Jesus teaches today. Now, there's one little thing to finish off with, and that is this business of the gardener pleading with the owner, don't chop the tree down. Give it another year. Let me look after it. Let me put manure on it. Let me care for it. And the gardener says to the owner, leave it alone for one more year. And the words that the gardener uses for leave it alone for one more year is the same word. Leave is the same word that Jesus uses when he's on the cross and he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So, Father, leave them, for they know not what they do, is Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And the gardener is saying, forgive it for one more year. And this idea of forgiveness is something which permeates the life and teachings of Jesus. And it resonates with us as we come through Lent. And we see God encouraging us to lead better lives and to be better people. And we hear his words of forgiveness as we so often try and fall short even of our own expectations of ourselves. So be encouraged, try to change, and know that God knows our weaknesses and works with us to forgive us. Amen.